This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Hello, happy Monday. This is Mike along with Carol. And we're all brought to you by Belmont Holland Restaurant, 718 Grove Street, Manchester. Top quality food made fresh for over 50 years. You've probably been there for a function. Red Arrow Diners now in three places, Manchester, Milford, and the brand new drive-thru location. Open about a month now in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. So it's all good. It's all fun. And in just a few moments, we'll be talking to the host of Food Network's Cupcake Wars, Justin Willman. He's more than just a pretty face and host of a food show. He is also a very accomplished magician and comedian. He'll be calling in the show, and he went to school in Boston, so he does have some Eastern connections. We'll talk about that. Interesting guy, and he'll be calling in here in just a bit, Carol.
There you go. And it is Healthy Monday, and along with Healthy Monday is Meatless Mondays. So welcome, June, to
Thank you.
Hi, June.
Thank you. Hello. How's everyone doing?
Good? Very good. Very good.
Nice
day.
You know, I'd like to start out by saying Saturday made my second week of going to Infinity.
Integrity.
I keep messing that up. Infinity and beyond.
Well, yeah, if you live long enough, it does become infinity. So,
well, that won't happen.
Light year.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you just reminded me of. Infinity.
Oh,
Jesse
my.
Loves Buzz Lightyear. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Toy
definitely.
Story. Right.
But I finished my full second week, and I have to say, I feel amazing.
Good for you.
I have never felt, and I get teary-eyed. I do. I've never felt so empowered.
Good for you. I thought you didn't want to talk about it on the radio.
I wasn't ready.
I'm like nervous.
I wasn't ready, but I am now.
That's very exciting, because at any point in our lives, we realize that we need to live healthier lives. What was it for you that made you decide, I need to do this?
I had seen several doctors, and they were just adding more and more diagnoses to me. And excuse me.
That's okay. Let it go, girl.
And then they'd say, have a good life. And I just couldn't take it anymore. So,
all right. So there were medical issues that they felt that you might have some control over if you changed the way that you.
No. They didn't even give me that. I decided to do that. They were just, just have a good life, and we can't help you, so do what you need to do. So I did. I took it in my own hands after listening to Rocco for a few weeks, and Carol, and then Michelle, and I did it.
All right, so what are you doing?
I go and I do the exercise, and then they have a calorie diet for me, and I've been following that, and it's just been great.
Good job.
Good for you, June.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I mean, the emotion is genuine.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know June other than just a couple times in the studio, and I don't know what her health history is or what her motivation is, but you seem like you're going to do this whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Right.
And yesterday, being Easter, we had 28 people at the house, and there was so much food. And I didn't even have an urge to have any of it. Dennis did a turkey on the grill for me, and I had roasted my vegetables, and I had a nice big salad, and it was all good. I didn't touch anything else that I had made for anybody else.
But of course, you know, you can't live your whole life not eating too.
Well, no, I ate and I was full, and it was all healthy stuff that went in me, and it was great. It was great.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Carol, did you have an emotional time or epiphany or whatever when you realized that you needed to do what you're doing?
I don't think I really had an epiphany moment, but, like I said earlier with Rocco, it took me a few weeks to get into it. And, once I did, and I am now, like, you're finishing your second week, and don't you love checking off those boxes?
Oh, my
boxes?
God. And when I hit like, the last day, the last I went, woo!
I know. I flipped the page.
I know.
I
that's awesome.
I flipped the page. And I think it was, maybe my epiphany moment was when I flipped the page, meaning I went through four weeks. I've never, because I've joined over there a few times, and I never went to the other side of the page. Now I'll be finishing my sixth week. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is very empowering. Just feel good.
Well, I'm enjoying watching the transformations, ladies. So keep up the good work.
Oh, thank
you. We are going to be hot babes on the beach.
That's right, we are. Unlike our other years where we just sat on the chair, we'll be moving.
That's right. We'll be going maybe for a walk on the beach.
I know it sounds so simple, but we didn't do it before.
Michelle would go for walks. You and I would sit there.
We'll save the seats.
Warm for you, Michelle.
Yeah. Now we'll all be doing it.
So what are we talking about food-wise today that will help others hoping to live a healthier lives?
I've been having a hard time finding like recipes that are really, really healthy and good for me, but I still love soups. And I made up my own soup, and I called it an amazing Mediterranean soup by June.
An amazing Mediterranean soup by June.
You got it.
Let me Google that to make sure nobody's got that one already.
I don't think they do.
Well, Mediterranean is one of the healthiest diets in the world, correct?
Exactly. It is.
I love Mediterranean. I know. I can't wait to hear this.
Well, I took a large onion, carrots, three ribs of celery, handful of chopped cauliflower and broccoli, a can of the cannellini beans, drained and rinsed, and salt and pepper. And first you just add those in, the carrots, the onions, and the celery, and let that go. And I also added garlic, of course. Got to have the garlic.
Have to have
the garlic. And you know what? I did it a second time. And first I roasted the garlic and then added that.
Ooh.
That made it even better.
Yeah,
so that was good. And then you just stir fry your vegetables till they're soft. Then I added some white wine to deglaze the pan. And then, and once that was gone, I added some tomato paste to the bottom of the pan and got that all going. And you stir it up until it's really fragrant. And like they say, you got to wake it up. It's been in the can for too long. But I like I like the tubes. You know, they have the tubes out now.
Those are awesome.
I love them. So you put that, and then you add 6 cups of your favorite chicken broth or make your own. And baby spinach, lightly chopped, fire roasted tomatoes, and 1/4 cup of rice, and let it go. And man, oh man, was it good!
Yum!
And this was just all out of your head?
Yes.
I admire people that can do that.
I love doing
it. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I love doing it. I love just opening my pantry and just taking whatever I have, or looking at my vegetables and say, "Oh my gosh, those are going!" And just do something with them. I just love it. And of course, I'm fortunate. My husband's not fussy at all. So he eats pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. Very rarely does he say, not that one again.
All right. So let me ask you this. So if you are gearing your family meals to something that's going to be healthier, how is he feeling about this? Is he on board with what you are personally doing for your journey?
My husband is very supportive of me, and he eats everything I eat except the cottage cheese. He does too. But
I like cottage cheese.
I do too.
And yeah. I love just adding like chives and everything else to it, cucumbers, and then letting it sit and add a little bit of Greek spice to it.
Really?
You know, yeah, and letting it sit for an hour or two and then eat it. Oh my God, what a flavor.
Okay, so wait a minute. What Greek spices?
Well, it's a spice. And it's called Greek seasonings.
And you add it to your cottage cheese?
Oh, definitely.
Now, do you get the low-fat cottage cheese?
Yes, definitely.
See, I get the low-fat with the pineapple in it.
Yep. See, I don't like it sweet, but those that like it sweet, that's good.
You know, Una Williams was on the show last week. And have you ever, she talked about a breakfast. And, you know, I have to do this with quinoa. You cook quinoa, like just plain, not flavored or, you know, seasoned or anything, but just plain quinoa. And I believe, didn't she say, Mike, mix it with yogurt And
I believe so.
Some what else did she say to mix? Maybe some granola, like
give it some
or
texture.
Nuts or something.
Yeah.
And
that would be
good. Blueberries.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't that sound good?
It does sound really good.
A breakfast?
Yeah. Because I have a hard time with breakfast. I need to eat protein in the morning.
Well, quinoa for protein.
Right.
I think I'm gonna try that.
And they have the brown quinoa, and they have different flavored quinoas now, too.
They do. I mean, I always think of quinoa as like a dinner. And when she said breakfast, I was like, that's really interesting.
Right.
It makes total sense. I mean, we have cream of wheat and oatmeal. That's basically it's your base.
True.
And then you add what Una said.
Yep.
Suddenly you've got a meal that, by the way, is going to stick with you for a while.
That's
pretty filling stuff.
Yep.
And that's the key.
And, I should have brought it in, but in Integrity, they have a menu for a breakfast granola that sounds really, really good, that you make it yourself and you bake it and then you put it in a container and it lasts for quite a while and you can just add it to your fruits.
So it must be, is it like with oatmeal and stuff?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yep. It is. And I should have brought the recipe. I'll think about it and bring it in next week. In fact, I'll probably make some this week and I'll bring it in so we can try it.
Oh, that would be really good.
Yeah. With the breakfast, getting fruits in and stuff, I still have a hard time with that, but I'm getting better. I'm making my shakes. And
I add my fruit right to my shakes.
Yeah, and that's what I did.
Shakes, yep.
Frozen fruit.
Yep.
And like Donna says, she said she takes her bananas, or Terry said it, and she peels them and cuts them and puts them in the freezer that way. So when she's ready to make a shake, she can just take part of that and put it in her shake. I said, oh my God, how amazing.
That's right. You don't need all the ice to make it cold and solid. Like bananas are great when you freeze them for a smoothie, which it sounds like it's basically a smoothie.
It is. And this one has, it has the chocolate protein powder. I added some of their peanut butter that they have there, which
is powdered peanut butter.
Seriously?
Well, yes.
And it's really, really
good.
Yeah.
But I added the real peanut butter that they sell, too. I bought the regular peanut butter.
Really? They have it at Integrity?
Yep. And they even have the white chocolate peanut butter that your Daryl loves. You should try it for him.
They do?
Yep. They just got it in last week. Yeah, you'll have to check.
Interesting.
Yeah, look on their shelf up there.
I actually need to go on. I ran out of my vanilla protein. I have to go and get that. And you know, that's the first time I ever finished.
Oh, one of those big monster.
Yeah. And they are. Yeah. They're huge.
That's like a big thing for me.
Yeah.
That's like turning the page, Carol.
It is like turning the page.
Yeah. It means you're committed. You're going to go get another one of those 55-gallon drums of whey or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at it going, do I really need this much? That's what I keep saying. Can I have a smaller amount?
I know. We have that stuff in my house. I use it to step on to get to the cookies in the closet. Sorry, Barb.
She hides them from you up on the top?
She hides them from herself,
basically. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I have to do that.
But I know where they are.
Well, you know, hiding things. Well, not hiding things, but, you know, Easter was supposed to be at my house yesterday.
Right.
And my sister-in-law loves Oreo cookies.
Oh.
And when I was shopping, you know, they had the nice spring Oreo cookies, you know, with the yellow inside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, you know, Elliot will be there and my other nephew is coming and I'll get one package of the pastel Easter color M&Ms. Well, it ended up not being at our house. So this morning I packed it all. And I brought it into her today. I'm like,
good.
Here is your Oreos and here's your M&Ms. I cannot have that.
Take them away. Because, you know, that's funny. And last week, the week before, actually, when I first started at Integrity, I did just that. Is I went into my closet, got rid of all my pastas that were white and started getting all the brown wheat pastas and stuff, and in my other closets that had the chips and the this and that, and I packed it all up and brought it to my kids and said, here you go, I'm done with this stuff.
There
and
you go.
Dennis was all on board with it. He says, you do what you have to do, and if I want something, I'll go get a small bag. That's all.
There you go.
Good.
Well, it helps to have that support, doesn't
it? It does, definitely.
Otherwise, you know, it's really tough to do it on your own.
It is. It's very tough.
But you have to be strong enough and be prepared to that, because in some cases there will not be supportive spouses, probably.
Exactly. But, you know, when it's in, when you feel it inside and you feel that empowered to know you want to take your health back into your own hands, that was my aha moment. That was my... you know, epiphany and all that when they were saying, have a good life. And I was like, how can I? How can I the way I am? And I said, that's it. And did it.
I'm so happy you did, Jim.
Yeah, that's very exciting. I mean, that's pretty harsh to hear.
You know,
especially if they say it that way. Well,
oh, yeah.
There's nothing we can do for you. Good luck to you.
Yeah, have a good life.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, well.
Yeah, and I went back to my PCP and said, don't send anyone to these two doctors because they have no bedside manner whatsoever. They have no sympathy in them. And
or they have very effective bedside manner because it rang your bell. And I'm not recommending that's the way to go. Would you have made this decision if they had soft-pedaled it a little bit more?
Probably not. But you know what got me the most, too, is I have a little grandson that just turned one, and we have another one coming in June. And I said, you know, if I don't do something now, I'm not going to be able to enjoy them and do what I need to do with them. So that was a big part of it, too.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how important grandchildren are in motivating those of us who aren't 30 anymore to make healthier lifestyle changes. I think of Barbara, and she wouldn't mind me saying this, when she was 40 or 41, she found out she was going to have her first grandchild. A lifelong smoker quit cold turkey just like that.
Very nice.
So who knows what it takes,
yep.
And let's just hope it's not too late to make those changes.
Right. And it's never too late. Try not to think that.
True.
Because it's never too late to make a change, no matter how small it is. Mm-hmm. Even with Meatless Mondays, just doing it once a week can make such a difference in your body. You know, you're getting rid of those chemicals and extra garbage that they put on and in our food. When you grab a can and you can't even read some of the ingredients that are in there, you can't even pronounce them. It's like, why eat them? Right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7 WTPL FM, and we are going to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Healthy Monday today. Had a great segment with Rocco. You know, he just like empowers you.
He
you
does.
Know?
He
doesn't
does.
He?
You know, at first.
It's pretty amazing.
At first, I didn't like him.
We know.
I mean, he's got that rough attitude. And when he had me in the office that first day, he got me so mad. He was making me do and say things that I didn't want to say. And I was really getting mad at him. I'm like, will you get on with this? What do you want out of me?
Was it tough love, do you think?
He said at the end, he goes, that's why I did it. Because I knew you needed a little push, more push. And I didn't really need the push. He just, I think, likes to push buttons.
After that doctor discourse, and then to have, you know, it was like the 1-2 punch.
It's like, I want to do this. Will you just get on with it? And then, you know, of course, we hugged after, so it was all good.
Yeah, he was doing what he needed to do.
Exactly, and that's what he said.
And you needed to hear it.
Yep.
You know, whether you liked it or not, that's life isn't always
exactly.
The truth.
Can't
handle the truth.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, I cried through the whole thing. I'm a crier, big time. I cry at the drop of a dime.
Really?
So, oh yeah.
Let me see if I got any change.
Get out of here. I already did.
You already did today.
You got the tears today.
But, see, I can't just cry that easily. And it always feels good after you do.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys, I mean, some guys do cry more easily than others. And it's not that I'm a, you know, heartless bastard. I just don't cry as much.
Dennis doesn't either.
Daryl does.
Yeah.
And there's
He's
nothing
very
wrong with
emotional.
That. Yeah.
We'll sit there. You know what we love to do? Friday night, we stayed home. We cooked dinner, and we got onto the computer, and we just watched video. You know, YouTubes?
Yeah.
We were watching the animal ones, like the puppies.
No.
And some of them make you cry.
Oh, my gosh. We were watching this one, and you know they had sequels to it, Benny the dog, Guilty, like when dogs are guilty.
Oh, yes, like when they do stuff in the house. And
we were laughing so hard. This poor dog, it was him and his brother dog or whatever, you know, and it's like, Benny, did you do that? And the dog is like,
oh, it's shaking.
And then you look at the other one, did you do this?
Carol's making faces for those.
Yeah.
Those that can't see her.
Carol's radio. But
I know. But it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, but he does. Yeah. He tears.
It's constantly. YouTube can be so addicting because you just go from video video. And
yes.
it's free entertainment.
An hour and a half. We were
an hour
watching
and a half
videos.
Of animal videos.
Animals.
Weeping uncontrollably on a Friday night.
Boy, has life changed, huh, Carol?
Remember, Carol? You used to find her Friday night out on the town doing something.
Oh, yeah.
Now she's
we'd all be there.
crying over Spotty the dog videos.
Oh, good one, Mike.
Wow. Well, it's good to be emotionally flexible, I guess.
It is.
So, I think actually maybe the last time I cried was my last day on WZID when my daughter called in.
Aww.
And now don't get me going.
Yeah.
And, well, we like to see tears.
Yeah. And then my final parting words. But and maybe after that. I don't know. But it just doesn't flow. And after it does, it feels so good. The toxins come out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's true.
So
it is. You have to have a good cry every
year. Oh, my God.
So
yes.
Often, you know,
that's for
I
sure.
have it too often.
I don't think that's bad.
I can
bad.
Drop just like that. No,
my
they call them
like
the gift
too.
Of tears.
Is that what it is?
Now, God could give me any other kind of gift he wanted instead of the gift of tears. But
like to play a piano, for instance.
Yes, exactly.
Would you trade the gift of tears for being able to play a piano?
Or even to sing. I cannot sing. Yeah, no.
Oh, gosh, you sound like my mother and Amelia.
No Amelia, singing for me.
My niece and my mother, they just wish they were singers, and they actually think they're good.
Oh,
and
I know
really
I'm not
terrible.
Good. I know
you,
I'm
you
not
need
good.
To secretly record people when they do that and just let them hear
and
it
then
later.
Let them hear it, yeah.
And then that shuts them up, usually.
Well, that's like hearing your voice, your own voice. Uh-huh. You never like your own voice, right? So, yeah. No.
Well,
don't like it.
So what do we have left on Meatless Mondays before your time is done and we didn't get to one of your recipes?
We did. We did my amazing Mediterranean soup.
Mm-hmm. Made by June.
Made by June, exactly. Created. Uh-huh. I have one more. It's a tomato and barley vegetable soup that looks really yummy and hearty. You start with olive oil and you cut up two ribs of celery, carrots, and a half an onion, and two cloves of garlic, and you mince that up, and then you stir it all in there and saute them, and 3 cups of good quality vegetable broth, and then diced tomatoes, 1 cup of pearl barley, 1/2 teaspoon of Italian seasonings, 2 cups of spinach leaves, and salt and pepper. Cook that all together and let it simmer for a while in another good, hearty recipe.
Nice.
Yeah. So
very
soups.
Nice.
I know you like soups all the time, Carol, but I know a lot of people only do them in the wintertime, and I figured with the spring coming here, might as well get the last couple of good soups in there for before the summer comes. So,
all right, can I bring you back to your earlier Soup by June recipe? That sounded really good. And you mentioned Greek spices. Is that something? I know you can get like Italian spices in the McCormick spice rack. Is there one that says Greek spices?
There is.
I mean, I've never noticed that.
I
believe you.
It says Greek seasonings on
it.
Okay.
Like made by McCormick or something?
Or it's that other
or
one.
Spice Islands?
Yeah,
Spice Islands.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
What is in it? Do you know?
There's a lot of the Greek seasonings use lemon, thyme, you know, so it's a mixture of those that are in there. I don't remember all of them, but yeah. And I'll use that even in my Greek pita that I made this weekend too. I sprinkled that in there to give it a little more flavoring.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes soups or a Greek salad, just add that to add in a little more flavor to your dressing.
And if you get a bland pizza, you just sprinkle that on.
Yeah. Exactly.
Since so many of the pizza parlors now are of Greek heritage.
Yeah.
It would
work out great with that.
Ah, well, that's going to be a new addition to my pantry.
It's good.
Yeah, Greek seasoning. I know. I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah. Even these, I just got these in the mail. I ordered them from Chef Nicole's website.
Uh-huh.
These are her very own seasonings.
Is that the Cajun one?
No, I don't think they are Cajun.
One, she has a Cajun one, Carol, that you can buy right there at Cactus Jack's, and it is amazing. I use it all the time.
Oh, I had it at Christmas, I think. They had it out at Christmas. Wasn't it 3 of them?
Probably, yeah, because they do specials on them and stuff like that. But you can buy them right there at the restaurant, too.
And soon, the brand new market, the
T-Bones Market.
T-Bones, Cactus Jack's, Copper Door Market over on the east side on Union Street, at the lower end of Union Street. It's going to be a store where not only can you go in and get the spices that Carol just showed us, but you will also be able to buy meat that's been butchered, because they're going to put most of their operations of food prep right there in this massive facility that they have bought and converted, and should be opening any day if it isn't already.
Oh, is that the one?
Where Ghulam's used to be.
Yeah.
I seen that. Remember I was telling you about that? That's going to be that?
That's Market.
Wow, that's awesome.
And they're
awesome.
Even going to have a takeout stuff.
And catering.
That's right, a cafe.
Yep. And they're going to have catering and all of that, too.
Yep. Which they do already, but I think that'll be sort of a central location to
like
prepare
all
that stuff.
When did they say it was going to open?
Well, he was here, a week ago, and he said about a week.
Yeah.
So it should be anytime.
It like probably is now. It's a soft opening. They don't really announce it. And when they're confident, then they say, okay, officially open. Come on down.
Remember?
Although you can probably go there now.
Chef Nicole told us Friday that we can go even if it's not open.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Get another private tour. We're so special.
You are special. Yeah. You are.
Well, thank you for sharing everything that you did today with us, June.
It's my pleasure.
Your personal journey and some of the food that you'll continue to cook as we talk about Meatless Mondays, which I think is actually sort of, in parts of the world, certain cultures sort of observe Meatless Mondays, don't they?
They do.
And it's gone, I think, even further than people really imagine. I mean, there's so many countries now that do it all the time, more and more.
Hmm.
So,
well, the cattle industry isn't too thrilled with it, but otherwise, everybody. So you'll be back again next Monday to share the further adventures of progress.
You got it. I'd be glad to.
Appreciate that. All right. Terrific.
All right,
we will come back very shortly and talk to the man who hosts Cupcake Wars on the Food Network. He is also an accomplished magician and comedian, and a pretty cool guy who went to school at Emerson in Boston. So he's got Eastern roots. We'll chat with him about all kinds of stuff, including the mean judge on Cupcake Wars. That's next. This is WTPL, the Pulse 107.7, and you are listening to Food for Thought.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7, the Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And you are listening to 107.7 WTPL, WTPLFM.com. You can stream live all around the world, powered by the Grand State Dairy Promotion. And I just want to thank a couple of our sponsors, Fallon's Furniture, which is the official decorator for the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company, as well as New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. You can check them out on the web at newenglandcoffee.com. And I'm going to have you welcome our next guest.
Yes, Justin Willman. He's the host of Cupcake Wars. You see that on Food Network. He also has a show coming on Comedy Central tonight, although technically it's tomorrow morning at 12:30 a.m. on Comedy Central, called Sleight of Mouth with Justin Willman, because he is also a magician and comedian. He also does a live comedy and magic show coming to Boston at the Wilbur Theater this Friday evening from Cupcake Wars. Welcome, Justin Willman. And Justin, I wish that we had better weather to share with you as you visit.
Is it looking bleak coming up next week?
40s maybe. Not exceptional, but most of the
I went to Emerson College in Boston for 4 years, and then as I was in college, I was touring around New England, kind of doing private gigs on the weekend, and I would make it up to New Hampshire and Vermont. So I'm used to, I'm well versed, and if I came there and it was all sunny and beautiful, that wouldn't be as fun as coming there and really feeling like I'm in New England. So I'll take it.
I don't think you'll need a sawhorse to save your parking spot, though, near the Wilbur Theater. The snow's gone.
Okay, good. Oh, man. Yeah. So the politics of digging out your spot and then having to claim that and defend it, that was the worst. That was tough times.
It's funny you mentioned Emerson College. I read somewhere that it was kind of Jay Leno's influence that led you to Emerson.
You know, it was. You know, when I was a kid in junior high and high school, like, Jay Leno was my idol. Like, I loved staying up, watching The Tonight Show, just really picking apart and figuring it out, you know, how he does that. And it just seems like, I was always like, man, that's the best job ever, just to, every night, just make people laugh and have good conversation. So I, as a big Jay Leno fan, I read his biography when it came out, and he mentioned that he went to Emerson College. And, you know, when you're a kid in high school and you want to be a magician, comedian, you know, you can't really go to Hogwarts or anything like this. So you're trying to take some tips from wherever you can find them. So I checked out Emerson College and ended up just falling in love with the place.
So I'm wondering, because you're the same age as my daughter, and she was going to Leslie in Cambridge at the same time, so I spent a lot of time downtown. Might I have seen you working the steps of Faneuil Hall on a hot summer night?
You very well might have. I did Faneuil Hall a couple times, Newbury Street here and there, and then Harvard Square, you know, for a couple week stretches on the nice days. And, yeah, that was, I mean, man, that's some good testing ground, because that, you know, that's instant feedback. There's no seat. So, therefore, if you're boring for a second, people will just walk away. So you kind of learn to really maintain, you know, full control over your audience. That was some good times.
Your Comedy Central special, as mentioned, is tonight. Is part of the show's premise that there is no better audience for magic than people who are high?
Well, you know, we for one of the segments, you know, we do a little bit of everything in the special. We have, you know, some live on stage stuff, some little sketches and vignettes, and then we have these, you know, we do the social experiment in the first part where me and Doug Benson, great comedian, we go to a medical marijuana dispensary here in L.A. to do magic for high people, which surprisingly is very easy. Who knew? And this turned out to be a really funny segment because, you know, I'm not doing, like, I'm intentionally not doing great magic tricks in this segment. We're kind of doing very basic stuff, but these people freak out as if they've just seen me walk on water. And it's just so fun to watch. I think that'll be at least probably the most shareable, talked about part of the show. And then we mix that in, of course, with a bunch of, you know, really awesome, crazy stuff. But I, you know, it just goes to show you, sometimes it's the easy things and presented in a, you know, a comical way that people really latch on to.
Hi, Justin. This is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Is it true that being a correspondent for the Rachel Ray Show helped lead you to becoming the host of Cupcake Wars?
You know, this is true. That was Rachel Ray Show was my first regular gig back in the day, and I would go on as a magician for the first few times, and magish for Rachel, and then at the end of every episode, of course, she, you know, on the talk show, she cooks, and she's amazing. So I kind of got used to and kind of got in an introduction to the food world, and at least, you know, having some sort of a palate and able to kind of talk somewhat intelligently about food, even though I can't cook worth my salt. But that ended up at least giving me some food credibility. So when that Cupcake Wars audition came around in, what, like 2008, you know, I was kind of in the right place at the right time. They were looking for somebody who could, you know, run the show, but also not take it too seriously, because it is a, you know, a Cupcake War is kind of a preposterous proposition. But it was great. We did 9 seasons of that for like 5 years. It was wild.
Justin Willman is our guest. Sleight of Mouth with Justin Willman on Comedy Central, Tuesday morning, 12:30 a.m. Back to Cupcake Wars for a second, Justin. Florian seems to me to be the Len Goodman of Cupcake Wars. Very critical, but probably a teddy bear underneath it all.
Such a teddy bear. Obviously, on that show, someone has to kind of be the, you know, someone has to be the bad guy. And not necessarily the bad guy, but someone has to, you know, keep it real. You know, someone's got to be the Simon Cowell who says what everyone's thinking, but, you know, most people are just a little too polite to word it so bluntly. So he's amazing. And what's great is that when you get a compliment from Florian, you know it's legit. You know, he's not blowing smoke. But he's such a teddy bear. He's one of the sweetest guys and such an amazing food talent. And we became great friends from the show, which is nice.
Very nice. Getting back to magic, at what age did you begin experimenting with magic, Justin?
Well, you know, I kind of fell into magic by accident. When I was 12, I was riding my bike with rollerblades on, trying to impress some girls, as you do. Bike blading is the name I dubbed for it. Fell off, broke both arms at the same time, was in cast for 6 months, and my doctor recommended magic as physical therapy. And that's how I got into magic to begin with, which is wild. My mother was thrilled that I, you know, found my passion. I think my dad wanted to sue that guy for malpractice at first, because that's a very, I don't think the medical board approves of that sort of prognosis. But then I just kind of became obsessed. So I was like that kid magician at 13 years old who had like a little briefcase full of decks of cards and would wear a bow tie and do my show. Super, super nerdy kid. But, you know, I just loved magic. I loved doing it all the time, anywhere, for anyone, and just kind of became my identity. And, you know, I think magic's such a good hobby for young kids because it's very empowering to do something when you're young that adults don't understand how you do it. Like, there's really no other place that happens than, you know, being a kid magician. So, and I've been doing it ever since.
I would guess that the live shows you do are probably the most gratifying part of your performance portfolio. So how different is it doing it in a theater like the Wilbur this Friday in Boston or in a more intimate club setting?
You know, it's obviously doing the live shows, like you said, you get that instant gratification. You get, you know, applause, laughter. You get, you know, to improvise and ad-lib, and every show is different, and that's the best. Like, I will do that for the rest of my life. Let's see, the clubs obviously are super intimate because you could, you know, I could literally touch the audience. The Wilbur, as a bigger theater, I really love those shows because people get to kind of sit back, relax. They get to be very involved in the show, but you get to kind of really present the show as it was meant to be done, as it was conceived. And the Wilbur, it still has that intimacy, so it's kind of got a comedy club vibe. And my show, you know, it's kind of a PG-13-ish. Like, I kind of push the envelope a little bit, but it, you know, it goes over the head of anyone who's kind of not hip to where I'm going. But with magic, I find in these venues, you really can get away with a little bit more than just as a straight comedian, because there's something about the magic that just kind of takes the edge off, you know, in a nice way. It's like kind of a yin-yang, the magic and the comedy.
Would you agree that people have a perception of magicians in general, and in some cases you actually have a hand in changing that perception?
Yeah, I mean, these days people are so cynical about magic, which is weird. Like, I had a woman come to my show the other night, and afterwards I meet everybody, and she comes up to me and she goes, "Hey, Justin." I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "I know magic is fake." And I was like, "I know too. That's the thing." She said it though as if she thought that I thought I was a wizard. And I had to, you know, and I'm not a wizard. I think a lot of people think that magicians kind of have this pompous idea that they have special powers, and I don't. You know, if I had special powers, I wouldn't be doing magic for a living, I'll tell you. But I like to, I have a metaphor that I sometimes share with people. I think that magic is like breast implants, okay? We all know they're fake, but when done well, can give you a feeling of true wonder.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be my quote that I go down with, yeah.
I heard you say on Conan O'Brien that Google is the enemy of magic. Why is that?
Well, you know, these, like, Google has given, I think, people this mentality that, you know, if you don't know something, if, you know, obviously just in conversation, if, like, who was that guy on that one show? You know, you just Google it right away. And with magic, you know, obviously my job is to do something that you don't understand. You know, I want to fool you. I want to amaze you. And people approach magic sometimes with that same mentality. They're like, wait, there's nothing that I'm not allowed to know. Like, I'm supposed to know how everything works. Like, and so Google kind of has conditioned people a little bit to feel like they need to know, as opposed to just enjoying the mystery, you know, enjoying the wonder. So, which is, that's fine. That's just the way it is these days. So that kind of makes me, what I've done is I've just kind of embraced that. So, like, I do some bits in my show where I will show you how parts of it work and then use that against you, you know? Like, if I just did a trick and you said, how do you do that, and I showed you, people think they want to know, but if I just showed them, they'd kind of be like, oh, I didn't really mean it. You know, oh, that's a bummer, you know? And once you know, you can never unknow. So I like to kind of embrace that new Google mentality, but kind of turn it against itself so people in the end realize that, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, it is more fun to kind of be in awe of something.
Final question for our guest, Justin Willman. You're going to be in Boston Friday evening for your live show at the Wilbur Theater. If you get the chance, where would you like to eat? Because we're a food show, so we kind of like a food question if we could.
Oh, gosh, man. Well, I'm a legal seafood guy. I always love my legal chowder for sure. So that's a must stop for sure. I mean, I nothing better than a good New England lobster with drawn butter. I mean, and you can't get that as fresh out here in LA where I live. So I think that might be a lunch and a dinner stop for me for sure.
What do you miss most about Boston since your college days?
Dunkin' Donuts coffee, man. You know, they have one Dunkin' Donuts in L.A., like in Santa Monica, and they made such a big fuss of it. But I mean, and people were camped out. We have one Dunkin' Donuts in L.A. It's not fair.
Justin Willman, Sleight of Mouth with Justin Willman, Comedy Central, Tuesday morning at 12:30 a.m., and his live show of magic and comedy at the Wilbur Theater is coming Friday evening. What fun to talk to you, Justin. I hope we get to chat again.
You guys are the best. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Matt. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Carol, if you have a chance, find his website. You asked him a great question about Google being the enemy of comedy. He actually was asked that on Conan, as you said, and then he proceeded to show how he basically does this trick where he makes you pick the card and he makes it go in this black balloon, and then he pops it, and out comes the eight of spades or clubs, excuse me, whatever it was. So it was a black balloon. Then he showed everybody how he did it using a clear balloon so you could basically see what's going on. Excuse me, I apologize. And then you say, you know, I kind of wish I didn't know how he did that. Just exactly what he was saying.
Interesting. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool guy, young man, not even 35 yet.
I know.
And all these times that I watched Cupcake Wars faithfully, I had no idea that there was a lot more to him than just Ready, Set, Bake. Because he has quite an interesting background. But when you're doing shows and you're just starting out in show business, you go to a million auditions.
Right.
And he probably went to this Cupcake Wars audition. They needed a host. He probably goes to, you know, 20 a week, because that's what you do in L.A. is you got to find that next job to pay the bills. And he ended up getting it. And even though that has nothing to do with being a magician, it gave him a lot of exposure. And you just build your career on the public being aware of who you are.
Exactly.
And I would, you know, if I wasn't busy this weekend, I would go see the show at the Wilbur, because I can just tell. He's got a great website. He has this one video of what it was like breaking up with a magician, you know, him and this girl sitting at a table, kind of interplaying some of this things you wish you didn't know about me concept. It's hilarious. So if you have a chance, take a look at it. Just Google Justin Willman, W-I-L-L-M-A-N, and you'll be able to find out more about this interesting young man. And we're glad that he called in today.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. All right. And let's see here.
Well, tomorrow we're doing the Dream Dinners thing.
Yes, Dream Dinners. Jane Coughlin will be on.
And
that'll be fun.
Comedian Bob Marley is going to phone in.
That's exciting.
He's probably the most popular person that lives in Maine. He's a riot.
Very cool. Well, it should be a great show then. And, well, you're listening to Food for Thought. And listen, it is, you know, this is like definitely a sign, I think, of spring and summer. But today, the Red Sox season opener.
Oh, yes.
Today. Yes. At 2:20. So, opener in Philadelphia. So, listen into that. So, that's exciting.
See you tomorrow, Carol.
See you tomorrow.